The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
The time has come. The game we talked about at the beginning of the season that both of us just said, let's roll the balls out and get there. Just like USC and Texas back in 2005. It's Clemson. It's Alabama. Bear is out in the office, the game day office. So if you hear a little noise in the background, that's people just doing some work and getting ready for the game, right, Bear?
Absolutely. We got it all rolling here. All hands are on deck and getting ready for a long weekend of a lot of coverage.
Very good. As I mentioned, we're here. I'm going to call this Roman numeral 4. What do you think of that?
I like it. We'll have to get RD on board with that. It'll have a little more airtime than you and I here. So maybe we'll see make that stick.
Well, it's here. You're in San Jose. How's the vibe?
The vibe right now is as we record this on Friday. I don't think the community knows that there's a college football game being played on Monday night, and nonetheless, a college football game between the two of the best teams of our generation. So hopefully things will pick up atmosphere-wise over the next couple of days or so. But because right now it seems like a very you played in the Bay Area. You know, I mean, this is not we're not talking about a college football hotbed here. And I think that's part of the problem with the perception of this game and this whole, oh, is Clemson, Alabama bad for you're playing the game in an area where college football is not a popular sport. It's the ticket prices are now falling through the roof, and you got a situation where you got teams trying to come from southeast part of the country. Airline tickets are just incredibly expensive, yeah. And it's hard for people to get here. So don't let that spoil your day and watching this game on Monday night, because it's going to be a great game.
A couple things. I was a young buck getting recruited out here, and I didn't ask the question about crowds and how we should expect for game days when the old Cardinal lined up on Saturday afternoons. That's on me. But it did not take long to figure out that there are not a lot of college football fans out here. Even when you're winning, and we had, a 99 season, that's a whole different story for a different time that I could go into depth and talk about all the excuses people have out here, and, they're built in their head now. But the other thing is, I say Roman numeral 4, I've been at every one, you've been at every one, or no, you weren't at last year, huh?
I was not last year, I was...
You're at the Rose Bowl.
I was at the other semi last year at the Rose Bowl, yes.
So I've been here for all four. This is why it's so good to me. Every time I come into this, I feel differently about the game. The first one, I didn't know if Clemson had the juice to stay with them. Obviously, they stay. They get the late backdoor cover. We see Watson is maybe the best player on the field. And right then, you saw that they were not scared of that Alabama jersey. Following year, obviously, Deshaun wins it. Last year was about as ugly as you can get for Kelly Bryant, and I think that got that ball rolling. So Clemson had to, wake up and realize they need more offense. And here we are. And I'm still not sure about this game. The line's down to 4.5. The over-under's down to 58.5. I saw maybe some rain in the forecast for Monday. And I am not... I fired up, and I'm totally jacked for this game. I can't wait to be on the field and take it all in and see who answers punch for punch, because I am expecting an enormously high level football game. But it's just one where it's so hard to pick.
It is, and I think another unknown is what's going to wind up happening with the field, because the field was not great the other day for the Oregon
Red Box
game.
Red Box.
Yes.
Bowl.
Yes. And we're supposed to get rain this weekend. So I would expect pretty poor playing conditions in terms of feel. I think like what you saw, right about what you saw in the Fiesta Bowl with guys, mainly a lot of DBs, slipping all over the place. I think that could go a long way into determining the scoring level of this game. But personally, I think bad footing favors an offense, because at least they know where they're going. And I think that likely leads to bigger plays, longer touchdowns, more points. So we'll see if the rain this weekend does come into play and how that might affect the field.
Yeah, and when you look at that specifically, Bear, with the matchup, I mean, there's so much to like about both sides of the ball for each team. But I really, really like the Bama receivers and Tua against this Clemson secondary. And, you know, I got caught thinking that Notre Dame could do it with their size at the receiver position. And, you know, they got caught behind, and then they, you know, were forced to, you know, play their hand. And Clemson had that waiting with the defensive line, you know, pinning their ears back. But the amount of, I mean, I hear guys say all the time, the amount of twitch that these receivers have for Bama, that they could get open at any time. That's the thing that keeps popping in my head. It's Tua getting rid of the football, knowing guys can separate so fast on any, you know, any down and distance. And that kind of makes me think that, I'm not saying that they're going to take the defensive line of Clemson out of the game, but that I like that matchup. I like Tua. I know what he can do. So that's where I lean on Alabama's offense. You know, when I look at this matchup, if I want to get a lean one way or another against, you know, a matchup against another, you know, side of the ball.
Well, I think if you look at the Alabama offense going into these meetings with Clemson, the previous three, this is by far like the best passing game that Alabama has brought into a matchup. You look 2015. They were 51st in terms of expected points for the passing game. 2016, they were 40th. Last year, they were 27th, and there was talk that Tua was going to play in that game. And this year, they're first. So while Clemson has had a lot of success against the Alabama offense in beating them and nearly beating them in 15 as well, this is definitely going to be the biggest challenge for the Tigers. And that's one of the reasons why in this game, I think there are a few props to look at surrounding the passing game. And I think Henry Ruggs to score at plus 115 is a really good one. This is a guy who scored in 9 of their 14 games this year. Two of the games he didn't score were Citadel and the Georgia game where Tua was hurt. So really, in like the 12 games where he's played with Tua, like he scored 9 of them. I think he matches up from a physicality standpoint with the Clemson wide receivers. You saw him win that with the Clemson DBs, rather. You saw him win that ball in the Orange Bowl for a touchdown. I think him to score is a good bet. And I think if you look at the prop on longest touchdown in the game at 52.5, I think it's an over. If you go back the last 3 years, we've had 6 touchdowns scored of over 50 yards in the title game. And I think not only with the Alabama wide receivers against the Clemson defensive backs, I think on the other way with Ross and Higgins and those guys, as well as Etienne being a home run hitter at running back, I would expect that there'd be another long touchdown on this one. So those are, I think a lot of the matchups favor the offenses in this game, especially without Dexter Lawrence for Clemson, and even more so the lack of Christian Miller on that Alabama defensive line.
Yeah, I want to touch on Alabama's defensive line in a second, but just going back to that, it's funny how you said Ruggs, man. That's what I was looking at. I looked at his yardage, which is 49.5 for receiving yards, Henry Ruggs, and then obviously the score, touchdown, plus 115. He's just that guy that I think there's two things that factor into me liking that. Tua loves throwing to him, you know, and he trusts him. He trusts all his guys. But in the red zone, you see the times he gives him, you know, opportunities to make a play. And Ruggs is the guy who, no matter where they line up, they know he can beat the matchup. You know, they'll move Irv Smith out to try and free somebody else up. You know, they'll put somebody else, you know, Devontae will line up in a slot and he'll line up differently, you know, as an outside receiver. I think in Judy's, you know, as good as it comes, but Ruggs is the guy I feel like where he lines up has the most purpose in their offense. And I think Tua is always looking at him. And I do like to, you know, for him to score. Cause I mean, he could take it to the house too. You mentioned over 52 and a half, but Ruggs just feels like that red zone guy to me that gets the ball. You know, if Tua has a third down and he, you know, wants to give a guy to make a play, Ruggs looks like, feels like the guy that's getting the ball thrown to him.
Yeah. I agree. Not to say that, Devontae Smith and those guys can't make plays as well as evidenced by the title game last year. But yeah, I agree. I think Ruggs is the, in terms of most likely to score and the guy where you're in the red zone, he's the guy that I think Tua is looking for.
On the other side, I feel like it's weird. I feel Saban was really, really happy. Like, you know, after the game, I got a chance to talk to him for a little bit as he came on with Van Pelt. And I don't want to say he, you know, breath of fresh air or a sigh of relief or this stuff, but he felt, I think, I don't know, vindicated with what he knew that offense brought into the table with Kyler Murray. I think he was really satisfied with how his team played. They jumped out to the lead.
He said it was the most difficult offense he's ever had to prepare for.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. And then I come back and because I wasn't able to see him in the press conference, and then you hear him say that. So to me, I think he knows, you know, everybody wants to. That's why I'm waiting. Have you seen a Trevor Lawrence rushing yards over under? I know Trevor Lawrence.
I haven't seen it. I saw a touchdown prop for him, the over under it, yeah. Like 2.5 touchdowns. And I saw the passing yard prop for him, or the completion rather, I think like 22 or something like that. But I haven't seen anything else.
He, and just getting back to Saban, he knew that he was giving up Kyler Murray to run and him running. You know, he's going to mix into man coverage. And if Kyler saw that, then he was going to take it. And you know what? It worked because they had such a big lead and he just said, do what you want. But when I look at Clemson's offense against Saban, I think Saban knows that there's not that dual threat guy behind center now. Like, as good as Lawrence is throwing the ball, and don't get me wrong, I haven't seen the ball come out of a kid's hand like that in a couple years. And he can light you up throwing the ball. But I think it's easier to prepare for that, knowing that the quarterback is not a run option or a dangerous run option in all these RPOs that they do run.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because I mean, if you saw, like you said, you saw the Notre Dame game, I think there is this misconception that he can't run or whatever, but he did a really good job eluding the rush of Notre Dame, and maybe they weren't necessarily design plays, but he has the ability to elude sacks and maybe make a little something out of nothing. We're not talking about huge plays, but he's got just enough ability to get out of a bad situation where I think he can. I agree. I do think he can wind up making a something out of nothing in certain situations.
Yeah, and I want to do more on that Clemson offense, just especially Lawrence here. But let's take a break first. Yeah, Bear. Along with that, with the Lawrence stuff, is it scary how easy he made it? He makes things look.
It is, but it isn't. It's interesting because I don't think people fully grasp how good and how special this kid is. I think maybe because Tua has been so great this year and Kyler Murray has been so great this year. I don't think how Lawrence has played as a true freshman this year has really gotten the recognition that it deserves. If you look at the numbers, since Trevor Lawrence came back from that injury, like what Clemson is putting up offensively, it's the exact number of points per game that Alabama has all year. And since the Wake game, Clemson's actually putting up more yards per game than Alabama is on the season. So like he has this Clemson offense operating at a very, very high level. And, I would expect to see that continue on Monday night, because remember as well, this is a Clemson offense now that is much more similar to what we saw in 2015 and 2016 with Deshaun and that passing ability than what we saw last year where you had Kelly Bryant who like they couldn't even try and then throw the ball downfield. So I think you're going to see some greatness from this offense on Monday. Another prop relating to the couple of props actually relating to the Clemson offense, because I think the numbers are there. I think if you look at Justin Ross, his receiving yard total is 69.5. Guy's coming off his best game against Notre Dame, and I certainly think he could be in the 4 catches for 80 yards type area. And then T. Higgins to score as well. He's the best money to score a touchdown. And if you look at Clemson's biggest games this year, exclude the Syracuse game because Lawrence got hurt, and that was a completely different game. He scored in all of their big games. He's a guy who finds the end zone. And like we were talking about with Ruggs and Tua, I think there's a comfort level where Lawrence knows that Higgins is a guy who's going to find the end zone. And when they're in that area, I mean, he's got Renfrow as well, but Higgins is the real guy who can go up and make a play for that Tigers offense. Cause those are two other props that I think if you're looking for good matchups for the Clemson offense, I think those are two good ones.
Who do you think accumulates more passing yards or receiving yards, Alabama or Clemson?
Clemson.
Okay.
Clemson. I think Alabama will have the ability to – I think it's going to be – not that it's going to be easy. I think it will be easier to run for Alabama on Clemson's defense than it will be for Clemson against Alabama's defense. And that's not saying that ETN won't be able to go have 9 carries for 10 yards, and then on the 10th carry he's going to bust a 40-yarder. I mean, that could easily happen. But I think consistently over the course of the game, I think Alabama will be the team that has a little bit more success on the ground.
And then I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Oh, one other thing on Lawrence. Now, I'm playing a huge devil's advocate. The kid has absolutely blown me away this year. But what do you think of the notion of leaning towards Bama because Lawrence really hasn't been tested? He's made it look so easy. Syracuse game, he goes out, unfortunately, with an injury. A&M, to me, that game seems more Kelly Bryant won that with his feet. Do you worry about Lawrence not being in the mix of adversity in a game and with this on the line?
I don't think it's necessarily the adversity. Yes, it's true that he hasn't taken a snap in the second half with them trailing this year. I think it's more concern and more worry with what Nick Saban and the Alabama defense can do. I think some of those late blitzes, some of those late changes at the line of scrimmage, those are things where I think maybe that could cause Trevor's eyes to get a little confused and maybe create some problems. But I think the bigness of the stage, that doesn't bother me. It's more schematically what Alabama can do that would be the thing that would potentially cause a problem for me. Because I think you did see at times in that Notre Dame game, Clark Lee and Notre Dame did do some things which caused some problems. But then when you have the injuries that Notre Dame had in the secondary, that made it a lot harder for the Irish to continue to do those things. And ultimately, the mismatch in the secondary really proved itself.
But I just go back to, I go back to things I've seen in this matchup, and it just really opened my eyes to Dabo, because that game, it was at 16 when Clemson won in Tampa. They were relentless throwing those fades to those big receivers.
Yep.
And that ended up being the difference in the game. And people say, the Alabama fans was like, they could have called this and they could have called that. That's their offense, man. They roll the dice and they love throwing those deep balls because they have so much trust in those receivers. And that's the main point that still scares me about Clemson as I'm leaning towards picking Bama is there's a lot of youth in that secondary. You've heard plenty of times about, this is the worst defense that Saban's had at Bama. But on the other side, man, I think they learned a ton about themselves against Oklahoma. Am I nuts?
No, you're not nuts. And I think if you're Clemson and you're the Clemson offensive staff and you're watching that Oklahoma tape, Patrick Surtain's going to be a great player, going to be an All-American. But I think it's pretty obvious what Oklahoma know what their game plan was. Yeah, they fell behind, and maybe it was a little bit of the game was already out of hand, but they really had some success in attacking Sertan in that second half. And I would be shocked if Clemson didn't notice that and at least attempt to do the same thing here.
Yeah, that's the game to me, I think, is what can Alabama do to help Sertan out? You mentioned he's top defensive player in the high school class last year. Oklahoma, if they had more time, guess what they were going to go with the football last week as we were there in Miami. I want to go over to the other side, back to the other side. You mentioned the ability, you have more confidence in Alabama being able to run the ball better than Clemson running the football. I look at the running backs. Was it Damian Harris? His over-under rushing yards is 50.5. I don't know about that one. I mean, you could tell to me on the field, it felt like he went in the doghouse after that fumble that got reviewed and, he was fortunate enough to get the touchdown. Mm-hmm. But man, I like my man eight, and I still think Najee.
Oh, Jacobs is a man.
Yeah, and woo. I think those are the two guys. So, like running the football, I look at maybe under Damian Harris 50.5 yards. What do you think?
That's a possibility, and I'm thinking back as we're talking about Jacobs and the Alabama running game now. I'm thinking of that game in 2016 where the reason Alabama lost is because of Clemson running it so many plays. And ultimately, it took a lot out of the Alabama defense, and the Tigers controlled the fourth quarter. Might this be a situation where Alabama – yes, and we know Alabama can go up and down, but might this be a situation where – maybe they are looking to maybe run the ball a little bit more to try and keep something in the tank for the fourth quarter, because I mean we thought that might be a possibility against Oklahoma, and then they just got up 28 and the game was over. So I'll be curious to see how they wind up what their game plan looks like on Monday night, because playing Clemson is a whole lot different than playing Oklahoma, because against Oklahoma you could score whenever you wanted to. I don't know if they can score whenever they want Monday.
And that's what's crazy. Alabama gets – well, I got the drive chart up. Alabama gets the ball, onside kick, up 45-34, and they're just trying to run it out. And they're not even trying to get yards. They're just trying to get a first down here. First play, Damian Harris, 11 yards. Next play, 5 yards. Next play, 2 yards. Next play, or later in that series, 2 yards. So right there is almost over 20 yards rushing. And they're not even trying to get the ball. That's a huge key is the style of Alabama's play calling to me. That's a good point by you.
Yeah, and I think if you look as well at what do you make of it's crazy how neither of these special teams units really have had stellar years. I mean, and just segueing over to another part of the game. Like Ugel, it was great his first couple of years, but is a guy who has really struggled this year. And we know the Alabama kicking situation has never been hasn't been a good one in a while. So I'll be curious to see. I guess I would still have more confidence that in a big spot, if Clemson needed a field goal, I'd feel better about Ugel making it than I would Alabama.
Okay. Yeah, that's the conditions also too with that type of stuff in this game.
Yeah, with the footing, exactly.
All right. So I've exhausted everything I got. Do you have anything more game wise?
I mean, I think another prop maybe to look at. I know it's a bit of a heavy juice to lay, but the defensive special teams touchdown prop on here. The yes, no, will there be one? No, is -220. And I think that might be the way to go. If you look at the last 11 title games, there have been only 3 non-offensive touchdowns scored in those games. So while it looks like it's a juicy prop, the yes to take the yes, this isn't the Alabama defense special teams from a couple of years ago that had 15. on the year. They only have 9 in the last 2 years combined, so they haven't been as opportunistic in getting those big plays. And I think the fact that Miller and Lawrence aren't on the field, that also hurts the ability for defenses to maybe create points. So I like the no there. If we're looking for, if you want just some other nuggets, I think you look at Alabama, the last 5 times they've been favored by less than 7 points. They're 1-4 against the number. The one cover was last year against Clemson in the semi, where they really just outclassed Clemson on the defensive side of the ball in that matchup. Mm-hmm. If you look at Clemson, last 9 bowl games, 8-1 against the number. Last 8 times they've been a dog in a ball game, 7-1 against the number with 6 outright wins. So, I mean, they're a lot of the historical trends do favor Clemson, but I think on the field there are a lot of things that favor Clemson as well that we've talked about. Now it's bad because I mean the guys on the set asked me that initial thought the morning after the game, like what I thought, and I was like Clemson plus 6.5. Seems like a good bet, but like right now, I couldn't feel good about knowing I had an opportunity to take Clemson at plus 6.5 and then take him at 4.5 now. I would almost just take Clemson on the money line at like plus 80 or plus 190 or whatever they are and go that route. And maybe this number comes down even more. And by game night, maybe you're looking at minus 4 or something like that. And maybe if you want to maybe take a little chance against something against that money line, maybe you take a little bite on Alabama minus the number. It feels like this is either a Clemson outright win or Alabama wins and covers. I don't know how you feel, but that's kind of the way I see the game.
It's so hard. I mean, I'm just still trying to go back and forth. I've been doing it since I got on the plane leaving Miami Sunday morning. And one thing I don't know if we touched on enough is that the Clemson D-line, they came back for this game. We mentioned Lawrence is out. But, like, they're here, man. Like, that taste, like, would you rather be the team that lost last year or rather team that won? Do you think that even matters with it being, you know, the fourth time in 4 years? That's stuff that I try not to look into because that's a motivation. That's an emotional thing. That's really, really hard to handicap, in my opinion. But I'm going to go with Tua. I like the versatility of that offense a little bit better. And as good as he's been, I just can't see Trevor Lawrence being that. He'll be the first true freshman to win a title since Jamel Holloway, right?
Yep, sure will.
I don't know. I'd take my chances with Tua in this spot because I think he has more options offensively. I think if Bama, I mean, God forbid if Bama ever jumped out, not saying 28-0, but if Bama could play with a lead here, that's I think whoever has the lead is a totally different game the way it's played. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, it absolutely does.
Okay.
And another thing, if you do like Bama, I mean, I think you need to – we brought up the fact that this is the best passing offense that Alabama has brought up into these matchups. And what you said too before earlier about talking with Nick after the game and just how relieved he was to get through that game, I think you would be hard pressed to find a time when Alabama played 2 consecutive just sloppy games in terms of penalties and mistakes and just giving up a bunch of big plays in the second half that made that final score look a lot. I mean, I would expect Alabama to play a lot better than they did against Oklahoma. And that's a scary thought to think that they didn't even play a great game.
A little sloppy.
They played, they came out, they took care of business, left no doubt. Win probability was through the roof after that first quarter. But it got a little sloppy, left a lot of points in the field, some dumb penalties. So I think they'll clean that up as well. But, we've talked about it all year long. The list of teams that can beat Alabama is 2. It was Clemson and it was Georgia. And now they draw Clemson. So this is one of 2 teams that can really match up with Ohio State from, I mean, not with Ohio State, with Alabama from a physical standpoint and athletic. I mean, I think, well, Alabama's, what, 55-3 over the last 4 years, and Clemson's, what, 54-4 or something like that. It's something ridiculous like that. And the two teams have been number one in the poll each of the last 48 weeks, I think it is. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous the dominance that these two teams have had over the last 2 years, and I can't wait for Monday night.
Oh, every time I get more excited about it, and it's here. So if you want to do a Big Mike Happy recap, what are you going to go with her? We got to write our columns on ESPN.com. So yes. This, I would think the what you say here is going to be in your column.
Yes. Yeah. The okay. column is written and submitted. So I would go, Clemson money line. Big Mike. I would go Henry Ruggs to score. I'd go longest touchdown over 52.5 yards. I'd go no on the defensive special teams touchdown. I'd go T. Higgins to score, yes. And I'd go Justin Ross over 69.5 receiving yards. That's where I would land. A lot of props in this game, and I think that's the way to play, because this is a game where we've been talking about that South Point prop all year, and whether it's skewing or clouding my judgment at all, I don't know, but it's good to be in a spot where, for at least from my standpoint, I really don't worry about who wins Monday night, because I've got them on that. We both got them on that CFP five versus the field. So that'll be a good feeling to go cash that next month.
Am I nuts here? If it's 4.5, where do you see this line going off at?
Well, how much lower do you think it can get? I think that's the question.
I don't think it goes below 4.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. But, I mean, yeah, I think at this point, if anything, there'll be a buyback on Alabama. I mean, if it were to hit 4, I think there would be an immediate buyback because of the loss of the hook. But I'd be surprised if it dipped below. I mean, if it went to 3.5, I think I would be very surprised. But I think you might get a little bit of a – it might hit 4, and then it might buy back, and then it might wind up – Might wind up settling at 5 or 5.5. I think. I think they'll wind up being some more. Because I think most of the people and the predictions that I've heard so far have been on Clemson. So that worries me a little bit. But at the same time, I think we had a similar conversation in 15 and a similar conversation in 16 where I had Clemson in both of those games. And 15, they covered, had a fourth quarter lead, couldn't hang on. Then 16, they wound up winning as a big dog. So, and I think Clemson was a very attractive dog those years as well. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to go with Bama right now. It's at 4.5. I'm going to take Bama right now. That line, if it changes though, it's going to make me adjust. Cause I mean, if it goes to 4, I might as well just say take the money line. Cause that's probably going to get you. That might get you under 200, right?
Pretty close. Maybe around, because I think right now it's what, 2?
Because I was thinking like -5 would be like 210, right?
Yeah. Probably. Well, let's see what it is right now. I'm sure it's I see 220 right now on the money line. So yeah, I think if it clicks down to 4, you're probably going to be, and actually it's 200 at win right now as we're doing this. So
yeah
you'll definitely get it'll definitely be under 200 if it winds up hitting 4. So that would probably be that wouldn't be a bad proposition as well if you do like Bama.
Yeah, and I'm going with the over until I see the better weather forecast. But I would say over 58.5 now it is. I think the winning team definitely. I just keep looking at 32-27. That gets me there barely.
Yeah, I was gonna say I expect both teams to get into that. I was looking like a 35-31 type game. I think seems to make a lot of sense.
Something.
I think both teams can very easily get to the 30s.
Yeah, I saw Alabama's team totals 32, Clemson's is 27. I could see 38-31, 38-34, something like that. So I'm gonna lean Bama. I don't love it at all. I think I like the over better than that. I do like Ruggs to score, and I would love to see a prop on Renfro catches, just because I think he's going to be the guy they really, really lean on if things get tight, knowing that he can get open in a little area and keep the ball away from Alabama. So I would look to see Renfro catches. I'm sure that'll come out over the weekend.
Yeah. Any quick thoughts on the Bison in the FCS championship
game? It's up to 16.5.
It was 14 this morning, and now it's up to 16.5. That seems like at 14.5, I was all in. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be scared off if it's 16 now, if they can send Chris Klieman out a winner with another national championship.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go against the Bison. I think this, I said it earlier this year, I thought this might be his best team. And they are they play so hungry, man. It's awesome to watch. That's noon Saturday, on ESPN. Now this game's played, in Frisco, Texas, which is always dicey weather-wise around this time of year, but I see 64 and sunny, so that's awesome. Weather won't play a factor. I'm really looking forward to this game. You mentioned North Dakota State trying to win for their coach on his way out to go take that Kansas State job. So, I mean, it's the FCS title game. I can't go against the Bison Bear. There's no way.
Yeah, I'd probably lay the points if I had to in that game as well. But we'll see. Hopefully, people are listening before that game starts, and if you're listening after that game started and we have a loser, well, good for you. You chose a good time to listen and not get an L.
Very good. Let's hopefully grab a meal this weekend before the game. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll plenty of weekend to go. Maybe a meal and maybe watch a little National Football League playoff action. See if your guy 12 can pick up a road win for the Colts.
So awesome being in Nashville Sunday night to see that and see Andrew after the game, man. It's rooting for him like I don't root for anyone else in the sport, man. I absolutely love the guy and seeing what he's overcome. So definitely root for the Colts here. You got any picks for the NFL?
A buddy of mine sent me a really interesting note, and I haven't confirmed. I don't know where he heard it or where he read it, but it was something along the lines of like the last 10 home favorites on wild card weekend of less than a field goal were like 1-8-1 against the number. And you're looking at all three of those teams fit that mold this week, right? The Texans, the Cowboys, and the Ravens. So I will say this, I haven't heard one person pick the Texans yet. That could potentially bode poorly for the Colts. I do like the Seahawks, though.
That's the game that I feel like no one's picking the home team. I feel like no one thinks Dallas is winning.
And I'm with you there, and I think the Chargers have taken a bunch of money and a bunch of thoughts as well. I mean, I think the road teams are all very, very, very live underdogs in the public's eyes this week. I actually like the Bears in the other game. I know, I think the narrative has been the Bears did themselves a disservice by letting the Eagles in the playoff by like going to Minnesota and winning. Why would you let the Eagles in a team that's playing well and you can have Kirk Cousins on your home field in Chicago and beat the Vikings into the ground again? But Chicago defense is playing well.
They're awesome,
and I think at home the Bears are definitely good for a one win. So I normally hate laying that many points in a playoff game against a hot team, but I would lay that 6.5 with the Bears.
If you were in a draft and you had the number 2 pick for a team to win the Super Bowl, the Saints are off the board. Who are you picking?
Chargers.
Wow. Okay.
I think they play better away from home, and that's going to be their road. I think they're getting healthier on offense. I mean, look, they could very easily lose in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I like that team a lot. I mean, I think the Chiefs have kind of peaked. The Patriots have
so
just
the Rams.
The Rams have kind of peaked. The Patriots have given up a ton of yards on the ground, and I'm not sold. I don't think the Chargers would be scared. scared going to Gillette if that's where they had to play.
That's the game I want to see.
Yeah, I'd love to see that too. Maybe you could take a trip up there too. That'd be nearby.
All right, if you can get tickets, let's go.
Field trip.
All right, road trip.
I like it.
All right. All righty, that's going to do it for us. We will we'll catch you sooner than you think. I think we're going to have some stuff in the near future to talk about. And I don't know. Maybe we wheel out a Super Bowl podcast and throw some more props if we do good with the props in this game.
Could be some Super Bowl props. We'll get some definitely NCAA tournament. Well, if nothing before, maybe some if they post some early odds to win the title type stuff as well. I mean, we'll bet something around. And I think I think for most people it could be an unfortunate situation and maybe seeing and hearing a bit more from us in the future than you'd like.
Very good. Well, that'll do it for me. I will see you very soon in San Jose.
Yep.
You could take us away.
And before I officially take you away, thanks for to everyone out there for listening and the feedback and the going back and forth throughout the course of the year. It's been a lot of fun, and my colleague here crushed it this year, had an unbelievable year, and it was a lot of fun. So always remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.